tuned in to the Community Cats podcast. Ready? Let's go.
Welcome to the Community Cats podcast. I am your host, Stacey LeBaron. I've been involved helping homeless cats for over 20 years with the Merrimack River Feline Rescue Society. The goal of this podcast is to expose you to amazing people who are improving the lives of cats. I hope these interviews will help you learn how you can turn your passion for cats into action. And today we are speaking with E.C. Michaels, who joined the Cat Care Society in October of 2022. As executive director, EC is responsible for overseeing the shelter's operations, marketing, fundraising, programming, and facilities, and working closely with the board of directors. EC has been working with animals for more than a decade, serving for more than 7 years in key operational positions at Denver's Dumb Friends League. Prior to joining CCS, EC was the executive director of the Lakewood, Colorado-based Animal Assistance Foundation, and the Assistant Director of Operations and Veterinary Services at Foothills Animal Shelter. EC holds a master's in public administration from the University of Colorado, Denver, and received a certificate in animals and human health from the University of Denver. EC, I'd like to welcome you to the show.
Hello.
Hey.
I'm excited to be here.
So how'd you become so passionate about cats?
My parents like to say that when my sister was born, they adopted me a cat. So when I was 5, I got my own cat, or, you know, I believed he was my own cat. And it's just sort of been a constant present in my life since his adoption. He lived to be about 21 years old, and I lost him after graduating from college. And that connection sort of got me started on the animal welfare path and ultimately led me to Cat Care Society to really dedicate time, energy, and my passion to cats.
So what does it feel like for you to be 100% committed to a cat organization versus maybe just a, I want to say generic, but an animal welfare organization that, you know, deals with those dogs and other gerbils and rabbits and others, you know?
Right.
How does it feel different, one versus the other?
I really thought coming into this role that there might be part of me that would miss dogs, and I don't. I think the challenges that we have when we're working with cats, when we're exploring the world of cats, of feline medicine, feline behavior, adoption, you know, you name it, is such a growing and blossoming field that there is always something new and exciting to think about. The challenges to get some non-traditional adoption candidates placed has been just an incredibly fulfilling experience. And working with this community that Cat Care has developed over the last 40 years has been just monumental and wonderful.
So tell me about the Cat Care Society. What's the main focus and mission of the organization? And then I'm going to sort of walk you through a journey of like all the parts of the organization.
Sure. So Cat Care Society was founded in 1981 in Denver. So we have been around for quite some time. And the initial focus of Cat Society was really thinking about the issues of overpopulation. There just not being enough homes for cats. Specifically, as dogs became more popular in homes, as the dog population of adoptions grew bigger, there really wasn't a space for cats. And so our founders really wanted to dedicate the time and energy to providing that space for cats. And over the years, what we've done is really focus on, again, those non-traditional cats. So we've been placing things like FVLB and FIV for decades. And, you know, consider ourselves sort of on the forefront of placement for cats that may be considered very special needs. We dedicate our time and energy to figuring out how to get those cats into homes. So again, we've been around for quite some time and have moved with the times following feline behavior and feline medicine, which has got us to where we are today, where we're really good at placing those special needs cats.
So you mentioned that you have a cage-free facility. That can be defined in many different ways. And since we are, unfortunately, we don't have video of your facility here, what does that really mean? Is it large rooms for 4 to 6 cats, or is it a large room for 30 cats? What does your cage-free look like?
So we have a couple different spaces that are cage-free. Our main hallway does hold up to about 20 cats, politely, without causing some little interpersonal issues. And then from those, we also have different rooms. And the rooms can hold anywhere from about 6 cats to about 10 cats, depending on the size. And so those rooms typically are sort of our more special needs or diet-focused cats. Sometimes there are fearful cats. We have a cat room that we refer to as the library that people can go in and just sit and read with the cats. We have large catio spaces also that were built into some of these rooms. So most, you know, a lot of the cats get indoor-outdoor experience. We also recently invested in taking one of our larger colony spaces and breaking it down into small colony spaces that can fit about one or two cats. So those cats that can't be around other cats or have very specific needs also get that free space, that cage-free option.
The one big challenge has always been special diets in a cage-free environment that unfortunately then tags that cat to have to be handled in a different way, which is always unfortunate. I mean, when I was working at the Merrimack River Feline Rescue Society, you know, we'd have all the cats out in the space and then there'd be one in a condo, you know, on the special diet. And then we'd be like, okay, all the food comes up and we let them come out and walk around for an hour or two. And then we're like, okay, the food goes back down and he has to go back into his little house. And it's a challenge. If you're dealing with so many special needs cats, do you have a constant battle with regards to special diet foods?
We do. It never feels as heavy as it seems in some ways. Most of our rooms are a pretty great size. And so we don't necessarily need to let them out into other spaces because the spaces that they have are so great. And since we do focus more on special needs cats, it's often that we have multiple cats that are on the same diet in the shelter. And so those guys get to hang out together. Of course, every so often we have cats that have very, very special diets. But like I said, we've built these kind of condos into one of our spaces. So they still get that space and they still get that enrichment of having other cats around if that's what they would like.
Some folks have said to me with the cage-free environment, it makes the cats harder to be adopted because they're not like front and center. They're not being pushed forward because they're in a smaller space. What are your thoughts around the adoptability of these cats in a cage-free environment?
I think that was definitely a concern of mine when I stepped into the room, but we in the cat world believe that the cat chooses you. And a lot of times what we see is some of these fearful cats, people walk in and there is some type of connection. We might see these cats not have any interest in us. And someone walks in the room and they think, this person seems okay. And so it's been a really great experience because those connections are made very frequently with some of our more fearful guys. Like I mentioned, we do have a quieter space if they're pretty fearful and we want them to be a little bit more confined. It's still a large room. And the other thing is that a lot of these cats that are pretty fearful, they find a buddy. And the opportunity to find a buddy is such a monumental piece of their socialization and their confidence building. And most of the time, if those guys are, we realize that they are finding a buddy, we ask them to go home with another cat. Just from that experience of having another cat friend, that a lot of the cats that come into us that are fearful really gain confidence over time. And end up finding their person again because they have a comfort and then that person walks in and they think, I think you're my person.
When I'm talking about special needs cats, you know, we've talked about feline leukemia positive cats. We've talked about CH kitties. You've talked about diabetic cats, you know, renal failure kitties, thyroid. We no longer, at least in my opinion, we no longer have FIV in that list. I think that is pretty much coming off the list of special needs, hopefully, in my opinion. But of that list, what's the most challenging special needs cat to adopt? I guess I should say megacolon is another one in there too, right?
Correct. I do think diabetes is probably the harder one, just because there's a different type of time commitment with those cats. We recently adopted out a 13-year-old diabetic with possible IBD named Mango. His personality is what really shines through. And a lot of times, again, once we get folks into the shelter, visiting with these cats, talking to our veterinarians and our vet techs about some of the needs of these cats, we see that sort of fear and anxiety lessening because we're willing to have really open conversations of here is where the challenges are going to be. Here is what might happen. But you put a cat like Mango in front of folks and that stuff kind of falls to the wayside. I think a lot of us think, or as we think back about the cats we've had over our lives, many of us say, oh yeah, I did have a diabetic cat, or my friend did. And you realize that it actually is an experience that a lot of people have with cats. And that sort of general kind of connection has made their placement hard, but definitely possible. And I think we never thought it would be possible to place a diabetic cat, but we're kind of demonstrating that it is.
Do you need expert help taming feral kittens for adoption? Watch the Taming Feral Kittens and Cats full-length workshop video now available for free on the Urban Cat League YouTube channel. Go to youtube.com and search Urban Cat League to see all of their videos to benefit community cats. Ready for a grant challenge like no other? Mark your calendars for this inclusive 2024 Open Arms Challenge. For the entire month of April 2024, animal shelters, foster-based organizations, and public charities are encouraged to create a new program or expand an existing one focused on keeping pets and people together. Learn more about how to register and important dates at maddiesfund.org. Tomahawk Live Trap exceeds customers' expectations by providing them with the highest quality humane animal control products available. Check out their new Pro Series Gravity Door Trap. They feature a door that sets automatically when you open it. No hook or plate setting needed. Use discount code KEEPITHUMANE for 10% off your order at livetrap.com.
You definitely won't want to miss our brand new Return to Home Certification Workshop on March 6th, where we'll show you simple, actionable ways to support owners of lost cats, be a resource for those who find cats, and increase the rate at which cats in our shelters are reunited with grateful families. And now, thanks to our scholarship sponsor, you don't have to. Normally $10, now anyone with an interest in getting more pets back home can register for free. Check out the Return to Home Certification Workshop page on our website at communitycatspodcast.com/get home and get more information and a link to our scholarship application. This workshop is presented by Corinne Burgoyne, Shelter Operations Supervisor at Massachusetts Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals. Attendees will receive a certificate after taking a short quiz and gain access to a Facebook group for ongoing networking. Once again, that website, communitycatspodcast.com/get home, and get more information and a link to our scholarship application. We'll see you there.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And I've definitely placed diabetic cats over the years, and I've had diabetic cats also. You mentioned that your organization is known for handling and adopting out special needs cats. I've been involved in various conversations with organizations about trying to find a balance between the adoptable, easy cat to adopt, no medical issues, no health issues, you know, that magical 1 to 5 age where it's all rosy and sunny and whatever, versus how many cats do you have that have special needs. Does your organization try and balance that, or do you just say, hey, this is what we're known for? We're known for these special needs kitties. So, you know, bring them on over.
We do. We do try to find that balance within sort of our focus. I think one of the things that is incredibly important about cat sheltering is allowing people into the experience of what a cat shelter can look like versus what may be the concept that they have in their head of just sort of kind of a messy, whatever it may be. I think, you know, one of the important things about also having a younger or quote unquote highly adoptable population is it allows that piece of entry of someone to come into the shelter and have a good experience and adopt a cat. And our goal is to make cat lovers and allow education. So even if that person is not adopting one of our Everyday Fluids kidney cats, they're going to meet that cat and they're probably going to read about it. And so that's just another piece of that connection where we're building more folks that are aware of how these special needs cats are up for adoption and can be adopted.
As an organization, how are you feeling these days with regards to the overpopulation of cats in shelters? Are you feeling significantly higher pressures on intakes, or is it status quo?
I think we are. We've worked really hard over the last year to really look at our processes and our flow and our pathways and to improve some of those efficiencies where we can so that we can continue to sort of increase our intake. We have the adopters. We see them every day. And so our goal is to continue to sort of refine some of our practices, really learn more about some of these special needs conditions. So we have a pathway when they come into our shelter so that we can continue to increase our ability to intake both special needs and cats that are just in need due to non-adoption space, the community that they're in, those types of things. We have seen the pressure of increasing the intake, and we're kind of rising to meet that need as we can.
Is there a benchmark length of stay that you look for at your organization, or is it just what it is?
I wouldn't say that we have a benchmark or a number. We accept cats that require significant medical intervention. That in itself is going to take time. And so saying that we have a benchmark or a specific number isn't really possible to really think about what that could be. Our length of stay will always be longer than sort of what a traditional shelter is aiming for, especially around cats. So I think it's really great that some of these shelters now are able to sort of move some of these cats through the system so much faster, but we accept that our length of stay is not going to be 2 weeks. It is for a lot of our cats, and that helps people come in the door because we have some of these quote unquote highly adoptables. And it helps that makes folks able to see the quote unquote not adoptables. So we work on length of stay because we acknowledge that a shelter, no matter how beautiful, how great it is, how much space you have, is not a place for a cat to live. But we don't say if it's not adopted by a certain date that we are going to move forward with anything else and accept that. Our length of stay is not going to be a fast number. It won't be years, but it won't, or necessarily months and months, but it's not going to be a quick turnaround.
You know, you said you adopt out 1,000 cats a year. So that's pretty significant movement of cats. How many cats do you hold at your facility at any given time?
Our facility itself can hold up to about 90 cats. Again, the majority of our facility is open space and cage free. We do have some kennel systems for cats that are just coming in that we need to monitor, post-medical cats, those types of things. And so all in total, it's about 90. We also typically have about 100 within our foster system. Around 200 cats is sort of our sweet spot in terms of what our capacity looks like. We've onboarded about 60 new foster parents over the last year. We've been able to increase that foster number as well.
Did you lose many of your volunteers, either foster homes or volunteers in the shelter, through COVID? I know that there are a lot of organizations that have been really challenged coming out of COVID to have to either rebuild or re-recruit, retrain volunteers, especially in the cat care space.
Yeah, we did. And again, I came on in 2022, in the summer of 2022. So I don't know the full extent of it, but we definitely lost some volunteers during that time. And it's been a challenge to figure out how we build back these programs. We have an amazing community of volunteers and supporters that have been cat care volunteers and supporters for years and years that are still show up every day. And so we're working on, you know, rebuilding, but also expanding some of the roles that we need and our capacity to support volunteers in the right way.
Looking forward for your organization, what do you think needs to happen as your organization grows? And do you have goals of anything in the future?
So many goals. I think that we are still in a space where access to care is going to continue to grow as an issue, as a concern, as availability. A lot of the clinics and access to care vet services areas are very highly dog focused. And so there really is a space that for cats in need, cat wellness, cat vaccines, cat spay neuter. And so I'd like to see us start to kind of build into that space and start offering some public support through just cat, you know, just simple cat vaccine clinics where they don't have to be exposed to barking, growling, excited dogs. So that's one area. Continuing to spread the word and education about cats that may seem too much, that may seem like it's too much to take on, and helping folks understand that there are methods and interventions and things that make it easier, and that make that cat's personality doesn't necessarily really care about all that stuff. It's just the cat and you. That's kind of some big goals for us in the future. And so just to continue to be sort of more on the forefront of some feline medicine as things grow, as feline behavior catches up with dog behavior, allowing our community to learn and embrace and grow in those aspects is also incredibly important to us.
If folks are interested in finding out more about the Cat Care Society, how would they do that?
Yeah, so they can head to our website, which is catcaresociety.org, and poke around on all the offerings that we have there. If they live in the Metro Denver area or passing through Colorado, we're open to visitors. We're open Thursdays through Mondays, so everyone is welcome. Again, we have a pretty cool space. So if you just want to grab a coffee, come in and sit in a room, you are welcome to do so.
Wow, awesome. And is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners today?
Yeah, I just think I'm so thankful for the cat community, and I'm so thankful for the cat care community. And taking on this role as a cat-only shelter has only demonstrated to me how powerful we can be and what a community we really do have. And it's exciting to think about how we continue to expand that and bring new cat lovers into the community as well.
Excellent. EC, I want to thank you so much for agreeing to be a guest on my show, and I hope we'll have you on again in the future.
Thank you.
That's it for this week. Please head over to Apple Podcasts and leave a review. We love to hear what you think, and a 5-star review really helps others find the show. You can also join the conversation with listeners, cat caretakers, and me on Facebook and Instagram. And don't forget to hit follow or subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, or wherever you listen to podcasts so you don't miss a single show. Thanks for listening, and thank you for everything that you do to help create a safe and healthy world for cats.